In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Luke says that the parable of the publican and the Pharisee is a parable to those who trust in themselves and despise others. When the Pharisee prays, he is proud of his piety. His piety, his faith, serves him as a source of pride, as a source of identity. There's an awful lot of that today. It seems to be the main use that we 21st century Americans have for our faith, to give us a sense of identity so we know who we are and we can be proud of who we are. That's the Pharisee. God, I thank you for making me as I am. I thank you that I am not an extortioner, unjust, an adulterer. I don't cheat. I give fair value. I don't indulge in these things. He acts pious, and so he feels pious. He fasts. He gives to the poor. He is good and proud of it all. And every good thing he does only increases his pride. For him, virtue has a selfish reward. He has the pride of the pious. For the humble tax collector, none of this is an option. Pride in what he does is not an option for him. In the hours this morning, we heard the words, "He will teach the meek his ways." God can teach the meek. He can teach the humble of heart. What can God teach the proud? The heart of the proud person is closed to God. God is not himself a God of pride. That is not what he is. If we are created in his image and his likeness, then to be like him is to be the opposite of steeped in pride. Couldn't a tax collector even be proud of his wealth? Definitely. Yes, most tax collectors were proud of their wealth. They identified with the rulers of the empire, with those of great wealth, unlimited wealth, wealth like the world had never seen before. They identified with them, and so they were proud. Their work served their pride, just like the prideful Pharisee. After his conversion, Zacchaeus, the tax collector who climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to be able to see Christ as he passed by, because he himself was short of stature. Short of stature, not just physically, but spiritually, and so he had to climb up. It's our first call to begin to prepare ourselves to move toward what? Toward Pascha, not toward Lent. We know Lent is coming. Pascha is the last thing in our mind. Leaving worldly things behind for the sake of resurrection, last thing in our mind, at least not in a Paschal sense, now maybe in a Lenten sense, where we are depriving ourselves of the things that we would rather have and dreading the day when we start fasting for meat. Pascha is the last thing in our mind. But this is what we've begun to do. We've begun to move toward Pascha, not toward Lent. After his conversion, Zacchaeus pledges to do all of the things that the Pharisee in the parable already does. Now, he does pledge to do them to the nth degree, but he pledges those very same things. It's often amazed me how the very same things can serve either our pride or our humility. It's a matter of our orientation and movement. What are we oriented toward? Beyond ourselves and toward God and others, or toward ourselves. And we can do the very same things. And the doing of those things moves us either toward God or away from him. They can confirm our pride, or they can be the consequences of our discovery of our love for the highest possible things. God himself, and the fact that there is something about us that implicates us in the short stature things that we do and makes us want to turn around and associate ourselves with the highest. The very same acts. either of those directions. It could even be possible that this tax collector is Zacchaeus. The parable does come after Luke tells us about the tax collector who climbed the sycamore tree. But probably it isn't Zacchaeus. It's only someone like him. The point of the parable is made by choosing someone like Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a man despised by all except the world's powerful, because he serves and admires their power and wants their power and wants their riches and has riches of his own by serving them. All others despise the man. Even so, maybe Jesus is defending the true humility of his own followers against the false piety of the Pharisees. Remember, either direction is possible, pride or humility, doing the same good things. Many build their pride by doing good things, and not out of humility, not out of love of God and others. Strangely enough, acting humble can make us feel humble. And for many of us, that's more than enough. We want that nice feeling of being humble. The feeling, the emotion, not the reality, not ourselves to be the source of humble actions that come from God through us, but feeling humble. We can enjoy acting in a way that we are not. But while outward actions and outward displays can be turned to practical advantage by changing either our image of ourselves or our character, an outward display of qualities that actually belong to God shows that we do not know him. Some qualities are not useful in worldly affairs. Pretense of them serves no good purpose except to make us feel spiritually in a way that we aren't. It keeps us from confronting the reality of what we are spiritually if we pretend. There are uses of acting beyond our capacity. It goes back to Aristotle, who taught that doing good things regularly, all the time, can make them habits and build character. In the modern world, there is a distortion of that, where people are encouraged to act with confidence when they feel no confidence. People are encouraged to act in ways that are rooted in passions, emotions, desires, lust for things of the world. If you want those things, act in this way, even though you may not be that way, and eventually you will become that way. And it will become automatic for you to seek the advantage in any situation and always act as though you are the powerful one. You are the one that is in control. You are the one that knows what's going on, and things will come to you. It does work. And eventually you will be assured that you are powerful, that you are better, that you do deserve all of the things that you gain by this pretense. And so you have built a false image within yourself. It's not the same thing as Aristotle was talking about. He was talking about building moral character. The modern effort to pretend that you are more and better than you are, to use your emotions and desires, that's what you're manipulating in that way, serves a completely different purpose. It doesn't build character. It builds arrogance. It builds a sense of pride. It builds a sense that we deserve all that we get by this kind of means, extorting an advantage out of others. The publican is fed up with living like that. Isn't that how a publican, how a tax collector who identifies with the most powerful and the richest in the empire, isn't that how they live, how they function? By identifying with a power that they don't have. They're not emperors. They're not leaders of armies. But they have emperors and leaders of armies behind them, and so they go with impunity into the homes of the poor and extort taxes out of them, and they feel like they deserve it. This publican can no longer serve the powerful in that way. This publican has seen into himself and seen the reality of who he actually is. And this publican is not so much ashamed before other men. He is ashamed of his inner condition by his love of God. Once we recognize that there is a link between us and the divine, that we are created to live in the likeness of God, then we are ashamed of actions that, however functional and utilitarian and useful they may be in the world, fall short of the stature of Christ, fall short of being bearers of Christ and his life in the world. That's why the publican comes and knows that he is unworthy in the presence of God and yet longs for God. The Pharisee could act like the publican. Acting like the publican can be a pious way of acting. The Pharisee could act like that. Modern Pharisees do. But inwardly he would still be a man proud of his piety, now proud for acting according to a different kind of piety. It's a matter of orientation and movement. It's a matter of the reality, the inner spiritual reality. For us as American converts, the popularity of one or another outward expression of piety comes and goes. We get tired of things. They're fads. And that happens to us also. There are styles of piety to choose from, after all. Greek, Russian, Romanian, monastic. We can assume a monastic piety. We're not monks. We're not doing what monks do. But we can assume monastic expressions of piety. It makes us feel humble, makes us feel pious, makes us feel just a little holier. We can honor and share these expressions of true piety, or we can copy and display them. But humility before God and before others can't come from any exercise of our own self-will and self-reliance or sense of an identity that we gain from it. It can't be taken on as a self-expression. It can only come from my own distrusting of my own passions, as the monastic does. And my actually placing others before myself. Humility can't be borrowed or appropriated. It can't be possessed. It can't be owned. It can't be taken and worn like we would wear a watch. It is a divine quality. The publican is humble before God from a reality of humility within himself that is not his own. He doesn't own it, and he knows it. He falls down before the presence of a love within him for one who is, for one who is more, vastly more, incomprehensibly more than himself. And by this one that is vastly more than him, he is able to be in a way that only human beings can be, and only by humility. Only God is good, Jesus says. God himself is humble. He is humble in a way that we don't understand. A saint has no humility of their own. In the end, humility, like love, is something that you do. It's not something that you are. It's something that God is, and we can share in it. But for us, it's something that we do. It's active. It's something that you do along with God. You can't do it by yourself. Christians don't thank God for being able to trust in themselves. Christians don't despise others. Christians despise their own sins and not the sins of others. And yet our sins are not who we are. Our sins are foreigners to us. They are foreign to us. They cross the borders of the beloved country, the kingdom of God within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.